It is 8:20 on KCHA, 28 degrees, overcast skies downtown at Chucktown. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg.
You ready for the snowstorm?
I am.
I'm so excited for it.
It's going to come, really. So here we go.
I'm sure Steve is excited for it. Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Of course, yeah. You are the city administrator for Charles City, working to get those plows set up, right?
The good thing is, well, I guess this needs to be our last snowstorm of the year because we've almost spent all of our snow removal budget. So we can't have any more. So we should just end it at that.
Unfortunately, it's only January 18th.
If that would work, that'd be great.
You know, if it wouldn't have started, so early in November. I mean, we're only used to snow in like January, February, March. Sometimes in May.
We've been getting spoiled the last few years, yeah. I think, that way.
We
for
have.
Sure.
Back to normal.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We've got a lot on the docket today, Steve. Last time you were in here, we were talking about city budget and the process. You're in the throngs of that. How is it going?
Yeah, it's ugly. We're
to say it nicely.
Yeah, say it nicely. It's ugly. Not to go too far down the rabbit hole. I guess we're neck deep in budget right now. So this is the heavy lifting part of the budget season. So we've had all of our initial. For the most part, initial presentations from department heads, and we get to hear a couple more tomorrow night and hear from some outside agency requests from like Arts Center Museum, things like that. But it's another tough year for us. You know, last year we saw a significant drop in taxable valuations due to values in town going down overall, which was, you know, kind of a thing that doesn't happen all that much. And now this year we're seeing an additional decrease in taxable valuations, but that's more of because of a way the state is funding property tax credits. The state used to fund a tax credit back to commercial and business property owners, and now they're shifting that responsibility to the local governments. So cities, counties, schools, we all get to kind of pay for that, and state's supposed to reimburse us for a time until that probably goes away, but So it's tough. So, you know, inflation's hitting us all, and so we've had back-to-back years of decreasing overall valuations, which means levy rate has to go up, but at the same time, the levy rate is capped in many areas. There's many different small levies that make up the total city rate, and the main ones that pay for all the day-to-day operations on most things. That's capped, and so we're very limited. So it's the next week or two is going to be tough because, you know, we're probably going to be looking at not filling positions, you know, maybe eliminating some. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's right in the deep part of it now. We'll be coming up. Early February is when we'll set our public hearing for the max levy, and that's a process that the state started here a couple years ago where it basically shows and establishes what that change in levy rates is going to be. And then once you go through that processing, you look to approve the actual full levy rate, which is, you know, the max levy specific items and all the rest of the levies. So not confusing at all. But we'll be doing that through February and into March. Ultimately, March 31st is when we'll be approving the overall budget. And that's for the year that starts this coming July. So yeah, we got a couple more budget meetings coming up here over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be working through that stuff. Tonight's a regular council meeting, but then tomorrow night we have another budget workshop where we really start to get into talks about some of these things, and we'll be hitting it hard again next week as well. So it's not easy.
A lot to talk about. Yeah. My brain's just spinning just hearing about it.
Yeah.
But go ahead and talk about Smart Home here in the community. Applicants?
Yep. So our Smart Home project, we've talked about this before. This is the project that we've partnered with AARP, and this was they granted through the state of Iowa and a couple different entities. We were granted $100,000 to buy equipment, and this equipment is now in the process of being installed in people's homes. Like of those that are basically elderly. Designed as a way to keep people in their homes longer. So it puts in a system for 3 years that's and it has different levels for monitoring equipment. So make sure the stove isn't left on, make sure the water isn't running, things like that. And so from when we first received that grant for the equipment and now on the back end of getting to the point of, all right, installation, we had 15 applicants, but and our participants that were lined up, but now people have either dropped off, you know, moved into senior living or whatever, where it hasn't come soon enough. And we only have like four or five people on the list now. So all that to be said is that if anybody out there knows anybody, neighbor, relative, or what have you, that could use some assistance to help them live in their home longer, please have them reach out to either myself or Jim Davis is our local liaison with that now. And so we're looking for additional applicants. And so it's you get this monitoring equipment in there set to the levels that you want, whether it be for your parent, you know, whomever. And there's no cost to the applicant. It's all part of that grant. So if anybody's interested in that, please reach out and let us know.
Okay. Awesome.
We have a brand new city engineer.
We do.
Wow.
Yeah. I was starting to wonder if that was even going to be a possibility. It was a long search, but I think we found the right guy too. Brian Sullivan. He's our new city engineer. Technically, he's an engineer in training. He has a degree in engineering, construction engineering. Lots of experience in that field, working in construction. He owned his own business. But as far as professional engineer licensing, that's something that he's got a little time to work on to get that certification. And so Brian's going to be our new engineer fully come spring, sometime around April, when John Fallis technically retires from full-time. However, John has agreed to stay on in a reduced, limited part-time capacity, as John will be the one, as a professional engineer, mentoring Brian. And so John will stay on for the next couple of years, actually, as Brian works towards that certification.
Is Brian a local fellow?
Yeah, actually he is. He's from Nashua.
Oh.
Just down the road. So, yeah, he started right before Christmas, and he's hit the ground running, and he's doing a great job, and really excited to have him. So, yeah, so we filled our engineer position with Brian. So he'll be handling all the engineer work, for streets and civil work. You know, you get in specialized things like water plants, wastewater, things of that nature. You know, you have specific engineers for that. But all the zoning requests. He had his first Board of Adjustments meeting last week as we worked on possibilities with the old Kmart building, which is also very exciting. He's on board. Stop by and say hi.
Perfect. Now we are speaking with City Administrator Steve Deers, and not only did you hire a new city engineer, that is, but you also have a new code enforcement officer as well.
Right? We certainly do. Michael Molina started right after the new year, and he's going to be handling the same duties basically that what Jason Webster did when Jason was here before he left for the emergency management position at the county. And so, yeah, Michael's come on board. He's got a lot of experience in that field. He's going to be working on nuisance abatement, apartment registrations, and we're excited to have him on board as well. He started that first couple days after the new year when we're like just deep in budget, and it's like, hi Michael, how are you? We'll talk to you later. You know, the restroom's down there, and here's a list of things to look at. But he's great. He's getting running, and we're at that time of year where spring is coming. The timing on that was about as good as it could be, because we've done a lot with nuisance abatement, homes acquiring dilapidated properties and either fixing them up, selling them or tearing them down, and we're kind of at the tail end of like three or four properties that we've acquired and done that with. So we're really at a point now where we're going to be going out here once the snow comes and melts again to really get a good idea of what are the priority nuisances in town. And and we want to put more of a focus on some of our rentals and as far as the property maintenance aspect of it too, right? I mean, rental inspections, we've had that in place now for over 10 years, and it's like, let's keep the idea was let's get the core things taken care of, make sure it's a safe place for people to live, and all those type of things. But additionally, the exterior of the home plays a role as well, and those are some of the things that we really want to try and address to continue that effort of really doing some good things with nuisance abatement.
Definitely some noticeable progress though in that department. I mean, you've taken out what, three or four different houses that I don't know how they were even standing.
Yeah, I know. It took two of us to push one over, I think. yeah, not quite, I guess, but yeah,
close, though.
You know what, we look back and over the last 10 years, I guess, we've taken down or abated at least 12 structures. And that's not easy when it's private property, right? So you have to acquire it. The first thing is we try and work with the property owner. Hey, we want you to be successful. So get this cleaned up, but But, you know, sometimes if it's abandoned or, you know, if it's so far gone and you just can't, you know, there's every situation is different. So yeah, and they take time because there's a legal process obviously involved. So, but yeah, we've acquired a few. So we've got 3 or 4 properties now that are vacant lots in the city that I'm hoping to be part of our, you know, infill housing project if and when we get that up and going with some infill housing to fill those lots. So yeah.
As if you don't already have enough going on, you do have some upcoming projects on the horizon.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
You bet. So this is what we're kind of budgeting for right now in a lot of ways, our projects for next year. And a lot of these are street-related projects. Last year, you know, we were on the heels of finishing up the Highway 18 project that we partnered with the state, and that was a big one. So, you know, we save up for those big ones, and then we share in the, you know, sometimes we share in the state with doing them, and so on the heels of that, now we're looking to okay, what's coming next, and this next one is one we've talked about. It's got a new and different name, but it's one that's very familiar. But it's the Mill Race parking lot project. Or the Mill Race Parking Project, if you want to be fun. So we have Mill Race Park. That's the park over here, right across from Mara, there on the corner. That used to be where the old mill used to stand. So that, effectively, the parking lot there behind Union House, across from the pub, those other businesses, that parking lot in there, that's going to be probably one of our main, or our main project this coming summer. So, you know, we've talked about that for years as far as, you know, reconditioning that and doing that in a way that will add parking stalls, because now with Union House in place and open, and the businesses as they come in there, there's definitely a need for parking, you know, and we've talked about, you know, we limit parking now on Main Street, you know, so snow can be cleared off so businesses could have some flow with vehicles in front. So we need a place for people to park. And so, you know, that's going to be one of our main projects back there. So nice thing about that project is we're going to be able to keep and maintain a lot of that concrete back there. But the areas where you do see some green space and some of the curb and whatnot, that's going to be replaced with permeable pavers. Okay. And so the permeable pavers will help actually reduce in the overall out-of-the-pocket cost to us, because we can use a large part of our grant from the wastewater project, which is our sponsored project grant. So that's going to pay for a lot of the work over there. But that's going to be a project that's going to get done this summer. And so you'll effectively won't have Riverside Drive as it wraps around that area, which I think in a lot of ways that'll be a good thing, because that's a very dangerous corner. People have trouble getting to those businesses across that street. So it's going to turn into a parking lot, you know, similar in feeling to Tyson's Hy-Vee, where, you know, you pull in, you used to be a street area, but a lot of that's going to be squared off, you know, and parking in there, and be a lot more parking stalls. So that's a big one coming up this next year. We have our Arboretum project, which we've talked about before. That's over there, that old triangle park, flood buyout, across some IC schools. We're putting in the second phase of pathways and different things to really enhance that Arboretum. So, you know, so people can go in and enjoy the fruiting berries and all that stuff in there. And that's all paid with grant funding. That project, well, we thought it was going to be about $225,000 project. It came in $174,000, and the city, our out of pocket into that is $24,000. Because we have actual sidewalks we have to replace. We have to pay for that. But everything else is grant funded or funded by local donations. So nice. That's going to be a nice project. Yeah, it'll be good to get that done. And, our water loop project. I think we've talked about that a little bit. But out towards Zoetis, that part, that in Cambrics, that part of town, you know, the residential area all the way out to the industrial area, is we're going to be doing a pretty substantial water looping project. So when you loop the water mains, you really help with flow and supply. And so right now with the growth of Zoetis and different places out there, you know, there's just not enough water supply. So we're going to be looping the system, putting in larger mains out there so we can have adequate supply to our businesses, to the homes, and keep that going. And so that's going to be happening this summer as well. And the last thing I guess I'll mention is our Clearwell project, which is another drinking water project. That's where we're putting in additional capacity at our water plant. So we can save our pumps from working so hard It'll use our lime that we put in the water to soften it more efficiently. So that'll be another project we're getting done too, which also came in a bit under estimate. So
what?
We've been, always a good thing.
Been lucky on a couple of those projects where they've come in really nicely. So, but yeah, those are the main projects we're going to be doing this year. Next year, we'll be getting into Main Street here. That's going to be summer of 24 when Main Street from the courthouse all the way up to Pure Prairie Farms is going to get redone, overlaid.
Much needed.
So be ready for that.
Cannot wait. Of course, the library is getting some modifications as well, or I guess a remodel. Go ahead and talk about that. They're going to be closed for a good chunk of next month.
They will be. Yep. And so, you know, another grant-funded project. You know, thank you to the folks at the Andres Grant. But our library was able to secure funding to replace the tile in the entryway that comes all the way in from the entryway all the way into the library as you enter the Mooney Art Gallery and the library itself. So there's going to be a time this is worst case scenario, from February 27th to February 23rd, where the library will actually be closed physically. People still be working there. You can still be able to do things online. I think they're going to be, you know, doing some curbside things. I think Annette probably spoke to you guys already about this, but I wanted to make sure we hit that again, just to let everybody know that starting February 7th, the front doors of the library are going to be closed as they do that work.
All right.
Okay. A couple more minutes here. There's a little issue with the traffic light.
Yeah. First issue is people need to learn how to turn. Second issue is once the traffic light gets hit, it can only last so long. And so we replaced one. This is at the intersection there by St. John's and the courthouse. We replaced one traffic light pole here between Christmas and New Year's. That one got put in because it was rusting away, and you could actually see the wires inside, which is not a good thing. So we put a new one in, got that recessed back, but now the other one on the opposite east side of that corner also has been hit a few too many times, and so we're replacing that. It's probably 3 or 4 months out before the actual light gets here, so there's a temporary light there, and that'll be in place for the next several months. So just bear with us as we wait to get that in and get that replaced. And like I was telling you earlier, Chris, I mean, that was traffic light funding that we're budgeting for right now for next year. So we're having to spend it now, but you do it when you have to do it.
Now, is there a running tally of how many times those lights have gotten hit by vehicles?
No, I'd hate to know what that is, actually, probably.
There's got to be some.
As a matter of fact, I've seen two people hit them sitting at that intersection. Years ago, it was a semi, and then it totally detached from the trailer, and he went up it. And those, it was just crazy. It's like, use your mirrors.
Those things happen, and it's hard. It's a tight intersection, and it's not easy to drive, you know, drive those vehicles. And so, and that's part of the problem, too, is those things are too close to the road. So that's why whenever we replace one, we try and move it back so it's not out right there and also remove the bullseye from it. So. But
did you get people that just kind of like drive away acting like they didn't hit it?
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes if
like
we're lucky,
most embarrassing thing ever.
We find the culprit, but more often than not, we just have to suck it up, I guess, and fix it.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so we got a few other things here. Foster Grandparent Program, a couple of different things coming up.
Yeah, just want to mention it's National Mentoring Month in January, and specifically on January 26th. January 26th is Thank Your Mentor Day. So we've been a huge benefactor in this community and the surrounding communities of the Foster Grandparent Program. And so it's based here out of Charles City. We are the largest foster grandparent program in the state, as far as I know. That's all funded by AmeriCorps, a federal funding program, and that's what helps provide stipends to foster grandmas, foster grandpas, to go out and help in schools. You know, they help in classrooms, not to replace a teacher, but just to help supplement and help. And so we're always actively looking for additional foster grandparents because we have additional stipend that we can provide for grandparents. And, you know, post-COVID, our numbers are down, but we're coming back up. We're pushing 40 now. We were down in the teens, I think, at one point. So if you or anybody, I think the base age is 55. You have to be 55 to be a foster grandparent. But, you know, either talk to myself, reach out to Jennifer Lance, who's our foster grandparent director, and she'd be happy to tell you more about it. So just something to think about. Thank you to our foster grandparents.
That's all right.
Great program.
It is. Well, thank you very much, Steve, as always, for joining us this morning. And we're running a little bit behind schedule. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the weather forecast, the quiz, and then we'll play your request, which is?
Jason Isbell's song called It Gets Easier. And I thought that was appropriate for budget season. I hope that's the case.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thanks a lot, Steve. We'll talk to you next month. It's 8:39. Your weather's next.